Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Are we as a nation following our Constitution? Is our Constitution in jeopardy? Hi, Alex McFarland here. Welcome to the program. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. We've got a great show. I have the privilege of sitting in for attorney, pastor, broadcaster, Abe Hamilton III. And we've got a great show. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce a very special colleague and our guest. His name is Massey Campos, and he is a speaker in the summertime youth camps that we do, the Equip Retreat .org youth camps. And so it's a blessing to have him on always. But less than a week ago, Representative Al Green, a Democrat from Texas, began to make the move to file articles of impeachment against President Trump. And I wrote an article over the weekend that I'm very privileged was put on Human Events, which is a think tank website. And I wrote in my article, I said, because this was, you know, exactly 2 weeks in to President Trump, our 47th U.S. president, 2 weeks into his administration. And, you know, during the rotunda, if you watch the inauguration on January 20th, as Donald Trump promised the American people, America first, common sense government. He promised to look after the interests of the American people and the U.S. Constitution. And as the camera panned around the rotunda that day, there were expressions on the faces of, you know, people like Chuck Schumer and Kamala Harris. You know, Trump says, "I'm advocating for America." And it was almost like the expression on the faces of some of the people there was, "No, this must not be." And so I wrote this article, 16 days, 384 hours. It is amazing that the Democrats preparing articles of impeachment against President Trump were able to wait that long. Because I can promise you folks, I mean, let's be real, the Democrats and the RINOs have probably been strategizing on how to bring down Donald Trump since shortly after midnight, November 6, 2024. And we're going to talk about this and the representative constitutional form of government that really our Constitution guarantees all U.S. states are to operate under. And that's just part of the X factor and the secret sauce that's made our nation stable. And I would argue great, but stable for 250 years. And to help us weigh in on this is someone I've just come to appreciate so much. Every time I hear him speak, I learn a lot, and I've been studying God and country issues for a long time, but I'm always instructed and inspired by Massey Campos, and he is a great thinker, a phenomenal youth communicator, and he's one of the speakers at our Equip Retreat summer camps. But Massey, thanks for being with us. Welcome, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Alex. You're the man. I'm always inspired by you, so knock it off. You're the one that's inspiring.
Hey, man, the Lord is so good, you know, and it behooves us to know about our government. Now, there's so much I want to ask you, but before we go too far, and we'll do this again, and by the way, later on in the program, folks, we will take phone calls if you want to ask question of myself or Massey Campos. But where may people find you online? And listen, folks, if you want a speaker on biblical worldview or apologetics, especially someone who was just incredibly gifted at speaking to youth, really, there's no name I can recommend as enthusiastically as Massey Campos. But where can people find you?
Sure. Our website is theselfevidenttruth.com. Theselfevidenttruth. If you know anything about self-evident, it just means duh. You know, these are just duh truths that the founders were talking about. So to them, it was just a simple thing that God exists. It was just an accepted truth and that he gives us rights. And so we just need to get that back. And that's the purpose of the ministry and to preach the gospel, obviously.
Yeah. Now, I've heard you speak a number of times, and sure. honestly, you remind me of David Barton or Bill Federer or Stephen McDowell. I mean, you're really, really dialed in on America's biblical foundation and the, the Constitution, how it operates, what very often we call American exceptionalism. How did you get into this topic, Massey?
So I got saved in 2001, and in 2004, I actually got a video. That was my first time participating in any kind of politic. I was actually voting independent because I just, the whole debacle with President Bush at the time and the Democrats, I just didn't align. I was starting to study the Constitution for real. And then I was going independent, and then someone handed us a video, a VHS, if you can believe this, kids, if you don't know what that is.
That was back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And that, I know there's stuff preceding that, but like, so someone handed me a VHS of David Barton's video called America's Godly Heritage, and I was changed. I'd been asking the Lord a long time, why is it I can go into a public school, but they say you can't talk about the Lord? It never made sense to me. Like, I thought this government was of the people, and I was asking the Lord all these questions. And I found out the Constitution and the First Amendment was actually written to protect my right to preach anywhere. It was written so that I wouldn't be persecuted, but obviously the court systems in the 60s and things like that have obviously ruled in favor of the progressive side, right? And the courts kind of took over in an oligarchy kind of way, making law, which is not their authority in Article 3. So I just started to study, took a bunch of Constitution courses, started teaching Constitution courses in 2007, and I started public speaking about it in 2014 or so, and just really going out and teaching as many people as I could, especially state representatives and federal representatives. I'd meet with them constantly about what is the Constitution saying. You'd be shocked how many of them don't know the Constitution for real. It's just like having a pastor that doesn't know scripture. It makes no sense. So that's what got me interested. And I found that it's a great medium to teach the gospel, because if we're supposed to be a moral people that keeps law, well, who makes us moral? Jesus Christ, right? Through his redemption. So just a great way to preach the gospel to people. It's just a tool to use, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you this. How much, when citizens don't know the Constitution, and maybe barely even care, how does that put our freedom at risk over the long term? I mean, does it risk or jeopardize our liberties, our freedoms?
Yeah, 100%. And the main reason being is if we don't understand even the foundation of law, we then don't know who it comes from and why we have it. So let me give you an example. Today, there was a couple of years ago now, during COVID, this lady said, I can't believe these extremist right-wingers believe that rights actually come from God, but they don't. And you remember that? It was on like MSNBC or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
Well, that kind of thinking has allowed the monarchies to happen, that kings grant us rights. Governments grant us rights. And there's actually a quote from John Dickinson that says, kings or parliaments could not give us rights essential to happiness. He said, we claim them from a higher source, the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. He was actually a signer, or I'm sorry, fought for the Constitution, did not sign the Declaration, but fought in the Revolutionary War. But he was actually instrumental in the writing of our Constitution as well. These guys are representatives. So we don't know where rights come from. And if they come from man, they can take them away. Whereas when they're inalienable, they can't be taken away. So I myself, or our ministry, or you, Alex, we don't fight for our rights because we want them back. I stand for them because I already have them. It doesn't matter what government says if I don't have freedom of speech or hate speech laws, or I don't care. I'm given by God this right to preach the gospel, to speak freely. Even ideas I don't agree with, I welcome it, because then let the ideas ring for themselves. So the more we allow government, and if we don't have a biblical worldview on this, Genesis 1, God creating us with this desire to have liberty and justice for all, which is in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, then we now depend on government for everything. And if you look today, government takes care of us from cradle to grave. If we depend on man, man will always fail us. And we can see the situation that President Trump's in right now. The fact that we had to create a DOGE program to hold government accountable. And a lot of Republicans that are in Congress are spiking the football saying, look, it's being exposed. And I'm thinking, you guys knew about it. Why did President Trump have to come in and expose this? You know what I mean? So that's what happens when we don't stand on principles.
Well, and it just, it's amazing to me, and the founders would have been incredibly incensed over this, how, you know, the the Washington utopians waste so much money. And when right. citizens and conservatives say, look, we've got to control our spending, the wasteful utopians go berserk, like, how dare the American taxpayers to demand efficiency and accountability in the way that tax revenue is spent. But, I mean, you and I both know, I mean, immeasurable amounts of money have just been thrown away. I think about the trillions of dollars that have been wasted, really, since 100%. The 60s. And isn't it amazing how the Washington bureaucrats and, you know, office occupants, they just go bananas when we demand that efficiency and accountability be how tax revenue is handled.
100%. And let's just go with the IRS, which I still think a lot of these three-letter agencies are illegal to violate your privacy. Yeah. But let's just go with the IRS. If you file wrong on your taxes, what happens? They can audit you, your business. And there's a quote attributed to Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson. I'm not saying it's fully there. I've researched it and I found it a couple places. But he basically said what tyranny means is when government can basically do what you can't. That's literally what tyranny is. And so you can only get so frustrated when you're hiding something. That's why they're so incensed, because they don't want to be found out. They don't want everybody to know that George Soros received money or Politico or we're funding. And this is just a dumb thing to say, but lesbian dance theory in other countries, for crying in the mud. So for the American people to know that for years this has been happening. I think my beef, though, Alex, really is with the Republican side. You guys know that this program, this U.S. aid existed. And why did it take President Trump and Elon Musk and them to come in and actually do something when the Republicans are spiking footballs? I'm like, you guys, that's the problem with the establishment, both sides of the coin here. It's that people are seeing that both sides carry some kind of corruption, and we need to hold them accountable. And that's what I'm hoping for, is President Trump will not only expose this stuff through DOGE, but also hold people accountable, so that it makes an example that we don't do this anymore, because it really is wasting the taxpayer money. But also, too, it's a massive distrust into government. And government was meant for our good, Romans 13, not to punish us, not to do us evil, but for our good.
Did you happen to see James Carville over the weekend, Massey?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Anytime you don't see George Carville, that's a blessing. James Carville, I'm sorry to say, but longtime Democrat strategist.
Yeah, Democrat.
Famously, about a year ago, he said that Christians pose a bigger threat to America than Al-Qaeda. But I had to laugh, because since the decisive Republican wins of November, James Carville has been in the media, you know, really being critical of the Democrat Party, and I'm glad. And he says, you know, that, look, the Democrats are out of touch with most Americans. Most Americans just can't even relate anymore to the hyper-woke, hyper-liberal, globalist, Marxist positions of the Democrat Party. So anyway, and it's true. I don't want people to listen to James Carville, though, because, you know, I personally want conservative constitutionalists to continue winning. But I thought it was 100%. Funny that there was a Democrat Party, think tank, and they're trying to think of some policies to launch that the American people will rally around. And get this, and this would be funny, except it's true. It's paid leave from work for pet bereavement. Now,
incensed the American people, you know?
Yeah. So James Carville just went ballistic, and he said, the Democrats are so dumb. Paid leave for pet bereavement. He said, that's your silver bullet for the future? Hey, Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network with our very special guest, Massey Campos of Self-Evident. We're going to talk about our Constitution. Are we following it? How we can start to follow it again? Where we've lost our way. Plus, we'll take calls and questions. May God bless you. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break, and we'll come back with more For God and Country on the American Family Radio Network.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What should a pro-life church look like? It's a church that will prayerfully consider encouraging members to volunteer at local pregnancy centers and to volunteer for other pro-life ministries. It's a church that would prayerfully consider supporting a baby clothes closet with diapers, clothes, wipes, and other needed items. It's a church that will prayerfully consider becoming a sanctuary church. They will help moms who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time. They will come alongside a mother who feels all alone and walk with her through her term of pregnancy and beyond. It's a church that will learn about important pro-life outreach ministries that are doing vital work to end legalized abortion in different ways. Am I really seeking to honor the Lord in doing what He would have me to do as an individual disciple of Christ to help stand for life?
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We love America. We're thankful to God for our freedoms, our stability, and our prosperity, which enables us to not only live and put food on the table for our families, but, you know, America, like no other nation, has really for two centuries been at the forefront of benevolence. That's another subject for another day, but America is the most generous, most giving, most philanthropic nation on the planet. And I would argue that our prosperity and the increase has come from our work ethic, but our morals, and frankly, the anointing and the blessing of God. Well, talking about this with me is our great friend and colleague. We just appreciate him so much, Massey Campos of Self Evident. And before we get Massey back on, let me mention, he will be a speaker at our summer youth camps, the Equip Retreats. Now, middle school, high schoolers, biblical worldview. You say, what is that? Well, that's God's word, God's truth, and kids are hungry for it. We have roughly 1,200 students in all of our summer camps, and look, last summer we had 168 kids pray to accept Christ as their Savior. Many of the teenagers, they come back 2 and 3 and 4 years, and we talk about creation versus evolution. We talk about moral issues. We talk about how to be a disciple and be a follower of Jesus. And we talk about God and country. And these kids, man, they soak it up. They're so hungry for truth. The website, maybe you want to send some youth or bring an entire youth group, or maybe you want to sponsor a teenager to go to camp. And we do our best to teach them God and country. And Massey is one of the speakers. But the website is equipretreat.org. equipretreat.org. Also, on my own website, alexmcfarland.com, I'll be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. I'll be there in July, then I'll be back in August with J. Warner Wallace. So check out The Cove, and then stay tuned. Now, it's not up on my website yet, but it will be any day now. I've got a speaker series in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. In May 4th, we have Dinesh D'Souza. June, we have Gary Chapman of the Five Love Languages. August, Charlie Kirk. August 21, how cool is that? Then September 14th, we have Lauren Green from Fox News. It's going to be great. And we call this series Conversations That Matter. Okay, also, Massey, I want you to give your website, if you would, where people can find you. Folks, you've got to follow this thinker that God has raised up. And I would encourage you, invite him to your city. Bring Massey Campos in to talk about God and country, and he'll do it incredibly, wonderfully, fruitfully. But Massey, what's your website, brother?
Yep, it's theselfevidenttruth.com. Theselfevidenttruth.com. You can find out all the information on there.
Yeah. Hey, before the break, we were talking about the fact that the Democrat Party is trying to find its its voice again.
Mm-hmm.
And James Carville was berating Democrat, in the think tank. They said, hey, here's what's going to get us election wins in the future. Paid leave for pet bereavement. And James Carville had scorn for that. Here's my point. Look, that when you don't have conviction And I would say we as Americans, we should have conviction of what this precious nation is and what we ought to do to preserve it. What are the convictions, Massey, that you wish were in the heart of all citizens?
Morality. Signer Charles Carroll, the Declaration of Independence, once said, he said, without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. I think the conviction is God. Jefferson even wrote about it. It's on his rotunda. He said, God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the nation be secure when we remove the only firm conviction in the heart of man that these liberties are a gift of God? The conviction is I wish that people would hold to their word and their principles. Like even the gentleman that you were just talking about that was berating the Democrats. I just, it's sickening because it's opportunism. They don't even hold to their own principles. They're just trying to get another leg up and slam somebody because that gets clicks and views. But when you have really solid people, and I'll use one. Charlie Kirk is a great example. You're a great example. Dave Glander, all of us who stand for truth, the conviction is I know what changed me and I know what will change you. It doesn't matter what you say or any laws you pass. I know the gospel of Christ will transform you. Well, in that, he teaches us all to have a workmanship. God creates us all with a workmanship, his own works for us to do. So the conviction is not my ability, but my trust in Christ. That's what I wish for when people would praise Christ with their lips. But when they get to a public office, they kind of sink into the swamp, if you will, which is what we're trying to eradicate.
Yeah. And, you know, let me just say, as a Christian and as a minister, I know where all my convictions are. They're in the pages of God's holy word.
100%.
And, you know, it's such a blessing. So, Massey, I'm preaching at a church and doing some consulting to help a church that is, trying to make a turnaround. And listen, man, I give God the glory, but I've had quite a number of people say that they were blessed by my preaching. And listen, I give God the glory. And somebody asked me just even yesterday, they were like, you know, how do you do this? Because every Sunday you've got a message and you've got, you know, enthusiasm and conviction. I said, look, it's not me. It's the Word of God. And if you accept the Bible as God's Word, and the authority over the life of every disciple. So the Bible is God's word, and I, as God's child, I need to know and live and proclaim the scripture. Well, man, you've got all the source material you'll ever need for your whole life right there in the Bible, isn't it?
100. Yeah, 100%. I think what makes us alive is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit illuminates you, Your testimony comes through the message, right? So when you preach, I've heard you preach many times, Alex, reading your book, the books and all these kinds of things. What makes the message impactful is God has sifted that message in you. In other words, I've been through the experience of trusting in the Lord. So when I'm saying this, I'm not just saying words. What does the word say? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So when the Spirit's on you, it's like there's just this life that comes out of you. You're not preaching of your own self. You've denied yourself. You've taken up your cross. You've rested in Christ. I'm hidden with him now. Colossians, right? I'm hidden with Christ in God. When you're that way, the power of God can work through you. So when you preach, or any one of us who are trusting in the Lord, every time we get up on a pulpit, we are literally saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And then when he illuminates the words, it touches people in the crowd. It touches people where it's like, man, I was just praying about that. Or, man, I can't believe he said that. I was just thinking about that. And those are the things we don't know as ministers when we're up there. We're just saying what God put on our hearts, right? And in revelation, hopefully above the scriptures that he gave us. But man, all the testimonies come back. And you know, the camps, when we do the kids, how many young kids come up and say, man, that message was, it's like the Lord had a spotlight on me. You know, I was the only guy in the room. I heard that a couple times last year. You know, yourself, I remember you and I were in Montana and a revival broke out in one of the cabins. Was it 10 at night? And you're seeing these kids seek the Lord, not because of us, but because of his word and illuminated by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit's working in them. And we're trusting the Lord's moving on our words. It has nothing to do with us. We're just mere men with pea brains before the Lord. But yet he said, no, you're my chosen now. Now go do what I've called you to do. You know? So I think if people could get that in our churches, we're not speaking of our own will, but of him who sent us. I think they would understand, right? The power of the gospel, the power of Christ. So,
yeah, and you know, the beautiful thing about it is when you preach the Bible, books and chapters and line upon line, precept upon precept, for one thing, folks, you will get to the volatile issues. I mean, maybe pastors and teachers, yeah, you're uneasy about preaching about homosexuality or moral issues or money or tithing. Well, you just preach through the Word of God and you'll get to these issues. And you need to tell the people what God says. And if people get bent out of shape, you just say, well, look, it's in God's book. This is what Almighty God says. And it's not the preacher they really have a problem with. It's the Scripture. So preach the Word and you'll cover all of the issues that we need to, you know, help people with. But the other thing is, and I've seen this, Massey, I know you have too, God promised to bless the preaching of His Word, and it's the Holy Spirit. Listen, oratory doesn't matter, a flowery vocabulary. It is the power of God's Holy Spirit on the proclamation of God's infallible Word. And your church will grow, and lives will be changed.
I just have to say something. We just finished the chapter. We just wrote a book, but I'll get into that later. But Charles Finney actually said this. He was actually speaking out against slavery. He said, how dare I preach the liberty of Christ without preaching about this? And he was a preacher from the 1800s, revivalist, actually, in the 1850s. And he said, but ministers in our day have become afraid to stand forth and speak as honest, fearless men on this subject. And political men have become fearful and sensitive lest the pulpit should utter its voice for freedom. Well, why this sensitiveness of the politicians? And why this timidity of the heralds of the gospel? Have not all Christian men political duties to perform? Ought they not to search these duties and settle in the fear of God all the great questions they involve? In other words, there's so many moral issues pastors could stand on. And you don't even need to cherry pick them. The moment you utter the gospel that confronts sin in people's lives, it's going to confront things like lying, cheating, stealing, divorcing, homosexuality, transgenderism. It'll confront the sin of man, and man loves his sin. Read John 3:16, 17, and 18. Men love darkness rather than the light. So the moment you even preach the gospel, you're already going to talk about the moral issues affecting our nation. How dare we stay silent and reduce the gospel to fit man instead of saying, no, man, we have to conform to Christ and the cross. And I think that's the greatest thing is if you're in this as a hireling for the I guess the money, maybe, boy, what a terrible profession to be in, you know?
Exactly.
And the conviction that must be on you as well.
Well, hey, you know, we're going to take questions in just a moment. We do have a break in about 5 minutes, but if you have a question about the country, about the overlap of the spiritual and the cultural, you know, the number, we'll get to it after the next break, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Maybe you disagree with Massey and myself. Maybe you say, hey, you guys, the pulpit has no business speaking about political and cultural issues. Call us and we'll talk respectfully, 888-589-8840. But I have a question for you, and I want to structure this, Massey. I happen to believe the wheels are turning. There's a Holy Spirit awakening beginning. Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe that. And I think I've seen some evidences of that. Now, when Christianity becomes, like, you know, popular, people jump on board. But wouldn't it be better if people courageously, before it becomes, quote, acceptable, before it becomes safe, how about giving a big shout out for Jesus now while it's, you know, dangerous? How about standing up and saying, hey, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Look, God loves all people. God can save anybody. But, you know, transgenderism is wrong. There are males and females. And get bold and say, you know what? He's not perfect, but God has given us Trump for our 47th president. And, man, his stand for Israel is good. Let's be brave and talk about, you know, the good things that are going on. Don't just wait till the wave is in full force. Be bold now. Do any of this? What's your reaction to this, Massey?
Yeah, 100%. We've been speaking this for years, since 2014, 2015, that we're seeing a shift happen in America. And I was speaking about it for years, that no, look, you're going to see a wave, because people have been sowing for years in prayer about this country, and God's already showing us kind of the glimpses. Now, the reason why people will acknowledge Jesus and say thank God but not stand on moral principles is a lack of discipleship. So yes, it is for us to say now, no, praise God. And all of you who have been standing for years, thank you so much. I'm actually the fruit of your prayers, Massey Campos and my family. I'm the fruit of your ministry and your prayers. I'm the fruit of all those prayers saying, Lord, raise up people that would take up this mantle. I didn't ask for it. God gave it, but we're you know, doing it and having mentors like Bill Federer. I consider Alex a dear friend and mentor. I consider all these people in my life. But what we're seeing now is a resurgence of, it's actually saying God is real. Now, this is where it gets tricky. They'll say Jesus, but you'll accept their lifestyle still. And we need to pray for their sanctification. We need to pray that the Lord will work on them and behind closed doors. And if all you have is complaints about President Trump and not prayer for him, that's not a Christian. I believe that we're supposed to pray for all of our leaders in authority, like it says in Timothy, like it says in Titus 2, I'm sorry. So if we're not praying for him and we have more critiques than prayer, I believe that you're in the wrong, and it's actually false spirit. That we're not praying for his salvation. I prayed for President Biden's salvation. I prayed for Hillary Clinton's salvation. Praying that these people turn to the light. Barack Obama, Senator Chuck Schumer, all these people, Fetterman from Pennsylvania, Nancy Pelosi, we're praying for their salvation. What they're doing is heaping coals on themselves for the lack of truth that they're not saying. And so how many of us now need to be who are seasoned in the word, find these people who are proclaiming Jesus and making sure that they're being discipled, they're being trained in the word, they're being trained in prayer, and that so that they can understand the doctrines of Christ and his character. All of that is found in scripture. I'm a very heavy word guy. The word of God must be proclaimed. It's the word that we stick our foundation on. It's the pillar and the ground of truth in the church. So I think that's more and more. If it becomes popular, we need to be out there discipling people who claim the name of Christ.
Amen. Well said. Folks, the voice you're hearing is Massey Campos. He's our guest on the Hamilton Corner this hour. Now, when we come back, if you've got a question, Bible question, cultural questions, call us. We'll do our best to discuss and give a good answer. It's 888-589-8840. Alex McFarland here tonight. Very honored that you're listening. Stay tuned. Saving a Nation, one radio show at a time. We'll be back right after this.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. So honored that you're listening, and I hope you're having a good day. By the way, just a public service announcement for men everywhere. Friday is February 14, Valentine's Day. Do not miss that day. See, we're a full-service radio show. Guys, we don't want you to get in any trouble. So, you know, you need to be buying a card and telling your wife that you love her and that you're thankful for her. And anyway, in all seriousness, we're talking about some serious things about our country. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, if you have a question or comment for Massey Campos and myself, the number is 888-589-8840. Hey, Brother Massey, I wanted to ask you, you had written a piece or given a speech, I can't remember, but you were talking about that we are a constitutional form of government, and yes, we're supposed to, all states are supposed to honor that and operate in that fashion, aren't they?
Yes. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution actually says, the United States Constitution guarantees each state a republican form of government. It's very, okay, very simple. That actually, the Madison coined the guarantee part. Our nation would provide a republican form of government. So what does that mean? It's a representative, it's a representative democracy where we elect our representatives. We're not a monarchy. We're not a socialism. We're not any of that stuff. We're a republic. So my point is could it be considered treason, which I believe it is. It's treasonous to the Constitution to be a communist, a socialist, and all these other things, because it's antithetical to the laws that we've been given under the Constitution. Does this make sense? So no amendment was given to upend our government. As a matter of fact, the Declaration talks about if our government becomes destructive to these ends, which is life, liberty, property, all those other things, then we need to alter or abolish our government and institute a new one. It didn't say we can just start instituting new governments. We need to abolish this one and create a new one. But all this infiltration from all this outside stuff, like I believe in the second half of this, Article 4 was talking about foreign invasion. Our borders have been open for how long? 4 years? Plus, Obama's term as well. That's an invasion from another country. We don't even know these people who are coming into our nation. And thank God for President Trump doing what he's doing. Birthright citizenship, according to the 14th Amendment, is illegal. That was not enshrined in the 14th Amendment. You should read Justice Horace's decision on that. So there's all these things that we've just allowed to happen. And now we look like, as the conservatives, the extremists, because law's not been upheld for the last 40 years. So when someone comes in and says, no, this is the law, now we look like extremists when President Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama ran on these same platforms. We look like the extremists, though, because they weren't upholding the law. Does this make sense? So, yeah, we're supposed to be guaranteeing a republican form of government.
When in reality, the conservative constitutionalist rule of law people, like the president and many of ourselves, we're just doing what constitutionally worked and was intended from day one. And we're going to go to some calls. We're going to go to Virginia. Stephen in Virginia. Stephen, thanks for holding and welcome to the program. Hey, Stephen, are you there?
Stephen. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, now.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, thank
Hello?
You.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm sorry about that. I'm really enjoying your show because it's very important to both politics and Christianity in our country. And one of the things that I think is very important, it came out in the last election where you had Kamala Harris talking as much as she was about freedom, freedom, freedom. I mean, that's all you heard. But that really, her concept of freedom is in conflict with the founders' understanding of freedom, because from John Adams to George Washington, John Adams said public virtue cannot exist in a nation without private virtue. And public virtue is the only foundation of republics. And George Washington said something similar, Benjamin Franklin as well. Our founding fathers, our history rooted our concept of freedom and the republic in such a way that was integral, of virtue, character, integrity, was integral. And the republic, and I prefer the term republic over democracy, because there's a lot of conflation over that, but we are republic through and through. But a republic will not thrive without a proper understanding of how virtue and integrity are integral to our success. And
Massey, I want you to weigh in on this. What's your response?
I'm getting the goosebumps you saying this. I'm just going to kind of piggyback on what you just said. I just said Charles Carroll, the signer of the Declaration, actually said without morals, godly morals, but he was saying a republic cannot subsist. and length of time. But when you look at the Declaration, when it says the pursuit of happiness, I do a whole class on this. The word happiness in 1828, as it was a Greek word called eudaimonia, and it means virtue or excellence. So to pursue virtue or excellence is what we're to be after. That's the only thing that can keep a nation free, is when we're morally upright before the Lord, because I can trust you then before the Lord, right? We could trust our neighbor. If we don't have a nation like that, well, then we can't trust our neighbors to do anything. So you're right. The acceptance of sin over virtue is what their freedom is. And that, you know, we all know the wages of sin is death. So yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what the founders were talking about. They were not foolish men. They knew exactly what they were writing. Good job. That was a great call.
Good call. Let's go to Kentucky. Frank from Kentucky. Frank, thanks for holding. Welcome to our conversation with Massey Campos. Frank, are you there?
Hi there. I have a question. It's good that President Trump is doing what he's doing, but what's to stop these executive orders to be turned around when another president comes in office?
Yeah, I've wondered that too, Massey. And a lot of these executive orders are very necessary, and whether it be the border, EV mandates, things like that. But Massey, do you get a little nervous that, let's say, God forbid, some, you know, liberal gets in office and then they begin, like a monarchy, to govern by executive order?
Yeah, that is the scariest thing about Article 2. Not the executive action of the authority of the president has been so convoluted. I get it. I don't agree with how presidents do this. The executive order was only meant for their cabinet and their branch of government for their term. It was never meant to be a blanket law over the states, over the people themselves, because the federal government's federal, the state governments have their own state governments. I am very leery of it. And even I actually had some. For me, President Trump is doing good things. We did a whole podcast on it, on our self-evident podcast, about some of the bad things that could potentially happen because of, it could go unconstitutional. And so what we do is our best to hold these people accountable, whether on the right, because I'm definitely a conservative, but we hold them accountable because that's my job. My job is to say this is constitutional. So, yes, I'm very afraid of allowing the president to take these actions and liberties. At this point, what do we need a Congress for if President Trump's going to do it all? Does this make sense? And we elected 435 members of Congress to hold these branches accountable, including our Supreme Court. So, but what happens when a Supreme Court is corrupt, and so are our politicians? It's a messy game we're in, and we need to pray even more for solid men in 26 and solid women to run in 26 that are constitutional, that can hold our elected leaders' feet to the fire. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. And folks, we're going to do many more shows about the midterms coming up and why we need to pray. And look, hey, our home is in heaven. I'm a Christian. My home is in heaven. But like Augustine said, until we are in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man. So the work isn't done. Brandon from Alabama. Brandon, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Hey, Brandon, are you there? Brandon from Alabama? Okay. How about Samuel from Texas? Samuel, do we have you?
Yes. Good afternoon or good evening, gentlemen. Hey, I really appreciate your conversation and what you're talking about, because after serving the military for over 30 years, we are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy, and I'm not sure why the politicians keep pushing that out, because, of course, they're playing on the ignorance of people. We are a constitutional republic. And the one thing about it is, just like John Adams said, that the Constitution is for moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. That's important, because it's also important to understand that our unalienable rights, that governments are instituted among men to secure those rights, which that is the important thing about the Declaration of Independence. And if we are not engaged as the ecclesia, the called out assembly, and it's not meaning, and unfortunately, there's so many religious people that say we don't need to be involved with politics and things like that. You can't legislate morality. Well, while we're doing that, there are individuals that are legislating immorality. So we need to be involved at all the levels, from city to the local, the counties, to the states, all the way to the federal government. And we need to let our voices be heard, because we, the people, are the government in the United States.
Amen. Massey, what do you say?
You need your own podcast, brother. You need a radio show. That guy was on fire. I will say, to be the sons of Issachar, I've heard this talked about a lot, the sons of Issachar. If you understand the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 13 and 12, I believe, 12 and 13, they talk about what were the people who understood the times. They understood the law and they understood justice. If you understand the word of God and our justice system of the day, you know we're called to occupy till we come. We have a job to do to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth as best we can with the time allotted and the gifts and talents we've been given. And many preachers know they've been given the gift to preach. It's an oratory gift. We'll proclaim the name of the Lord and stand for these issues because people are dying. And while you're worried about getting a bad review on Facebook, souls are going to hell. And we need to preach the truth to these people and get them saved. So praise God for you, man. Way to go. Great call. You need a show. You need a show, dude. You're doing great.
Amen. Hey, we're going to get to Jerry from Texas in a second. I was thinking about that quote, but it brought to mind another one, Massey. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "The care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only legitimate object of good government," end of quote. And I think about Jefferson and the founders would have been in agreement that, you know, recent liberal actions like funding terrorists, destabilizing the Middle East, introducing children to transgender ideology, and welcoming millions of illegals across an open border, they betray that criteria, the care and preservation of human life and happiness, not their destruction. Good, legitimate government, certainly constitutional government based on the objective moral foundation of God's word. We haven't seen that, but that's what our government is charged to do. Jerry from Texas. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, sir. Like your last guy, I'm a retired military veteran, but I only did 20. And I've come to understand the Constitution a whole lot more. So I was wondering, my children go to a private Christian school, but I don't usurp all the authority. I still monitor what they're taught. And I substitute when I get a chance for the school to support as a parent. But the thing is at their school, they're adopting the Texas education standard for teaching history. And after listening to yourself and Rick Green and Barton's and the gentleman that does the Providential American History on AFR podcast, they're missing,
Stephen McDowell.
In my opinion, and I've read his book. They're missing the providential portion of our history. So they're teaching them history, but they're leaving out how God's influence on the country was. So I guess the question is there a presentation on your website or something that I could present to the board at the school to say, hey, you're doing great on teaching the history, but as Christians, let's teach them how God's providence promoted the country through this avenue other than the secular avenue.
100%. Could you do me a favor and go to the website and email me at info@theselfevidenttruth. You can see the contact on there. I'll send you everything we got on that kind of stuff. But we also have a YouTube page full of stuff, full of speeches I've done. I'm doing one in Nevada next week called Resistance to Tyranny's Obedience to God, going through the 700 years of history, the Magna Carta, the whole thing. In 40 minutes. How do you do that? But yeah, I would love to send you that stuff, brother, because the kids need it. And they are being bereaved of this. They're not given this. So where do they plant their feet, if not the truth? On man. That's purposed. You know, they don't want Christ to be talked about. So I appreciate you, brother. So just email me at info@theselfevidenttruth, and I'll directly talk to you and email you all that stuff, okay?
And, you know, I think it's very inspiring. Sir, thank you for that fantastic question. Bill Federer, William J. Federer, and that's spelled F-E-D-E-R-E-R, phenomenal guy. He wrote a book called Miracles in American History. Have you ever seen that book, Massey?
Yeah, both volumes. I actually used a couple of those in my speeches,
Just without argument, the ways God intervened in the American Revolution, in World Wars I and II, you look and you say, oh my goodness, God had a plan for America. And now here you and I are, and it's our hour to be a part of that plan. Hey, we're almost out of time. Massey Campos, thank you for being with us, brother. And folks, thanks for listening. You can listen again at AFR.net. The shows are archived. Please, if you would, pray for our nation. Stand bold for truth. AFR is here to help you do that. And like Massey Campos, God can use you to inform and inspire people all around you. Tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.